This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. We wish you a warm welcome to Christian Crusaders Radio and Internet Ministry. How would you describe yourself? By your vocation, your family role, your background, or perhaps even your social status? When we become a Christian, God gives us a new identity. Find out what that identity is in today's message.
When a person receives Christ into his or her life, that individual receives a new identity. I invite you to stay with us and find out who you really are in Christ. We begin in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Let's pray. Almighty and merciful Father, we praise you this day for the beauty of your creation and for the gift of life and so much around us to enjoy. Most of all, we praise you for you. We thank you for all that you've done for us in our lives and the promises of what you're going to do. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Our reading for today is taken from Paul's letter to the Ephesians, beginning chapter 1. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God, to the saints who are in Ephesus and are faithful in Christ Jesus, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places, just as he chose us in Christ before the foundation of the world to be holy and blameless before him in love. He destined us for adoption as his children through Jesus Christ, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of his glorious grace that he freely bestowed on us in the Beloved. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses, according to the riches of his grace that he lavished on us. With all wisdom and insight he has made known to us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure that he set forth in Christ, as a plan for the fullness of time to gather up all things in him, things in heaven and things on earth. In Christ we have also obtained an inheritance, having been destined according to the purpose of him who accomplishes all things, according to his counsel and will, so that we who were the first to set our hope on Christ might live for the praise of his glory. In him you also, when you had heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and had believed in him, were marked with the seal of the Holy Spirit. This is the pledge of our inheritance toward redemption as God's own people, to the praise of his glory. Here ends our reading. Dear friends, years ago I attended a church leadership seminar that was led by Dr. Kenan Callahan, a church growth expert who wrote the book 12 Keys to an Effective Church. This had a major impact on my ministry, this book. During one of his presentations, Dr. Callahan stated a principle in regard to church growth. It goes as follows: perception yields behavior, which yields destiny. He went on to explain, if you see yourself as a small church, then you'll act like a small church, and that will probably be your future. Perhaps the same could even be said for the individual. My self-perception influences my behavior, which in all likelihood influences my destiny in life. So the question becomes, how do you see yourself? Who are you anyway? We might answer that question in a variety of ways. Our minds might immediately go to our vocation. I'm a teacher, I'm a doctor, I'm a farmer, I'm retired. Or it might go to relationships or your role in a family. I'm a mother, a father, a grandparent. Others of you might go to your age grouping. I'm one of those boomers. I'm a builder. I'm a buster. Others might think of their background information. I'm a Minnesotan. I'm an Iowan. I'm a Norwegian. I'm a Dane. Might be our accomplishments or lack thereof. I'm a self-made person, a success, or I'm a failure. Many of you listening in might identify yourself in this way. I'm a Christian. I trust in Jesus. According to Scripture, to say that means then that you are a new person, a new creation in Christ. You have a new purpose, a new master, a new identity, or as we call it, a new ID. The Apostle Paul, who once was an unbeliever and then became a believer in Jesus and a great missionary for the cause of Jesus Christ, addresses the subject of Christian identity in his letter to some believers in a city called Ephesus. These folks are trying to make their way in a pagan culture as new Christians. It had to have been so overwhelming to live in a culture with non-Christian family and friends and their input, to actually forget who you are now that you're in Christ. And it would, in all likelihood, show up in their behavior and conduct and what they would find themselves doing. It would be easy to slip back into the old life of before Christ living. So in this letter, Paul seems bent to remind them of what he had taught them earlier when he first started that congregation up. He gave them a renewed self-perception. He seems to be saying, remember who you are again and again, and let that be the influence in your life. For instance, even in the beginning of this letter, in the greeting, Paul reminds them, you're saints. He writes to the saints who are in Ephesus, faithful in Christ Jesus. That's your title as well, and mine. We might pause a bit when we hear that label attached to us, because it's come to mean certain things in today's thinking. It's a term that we use to describe super good people, Mother Teresa types. Or we talk about people whose behavior is poor. They're no saint. I remember a story that I came across years ago about two brothers who had terrorized a small town for decades. They were unfaithful to their wives, terrible to their kids, dishonest in business. And then the younger brother died unexpectedly. The surviving brother went to the pastor of the local church and said, I want you to do my brother's funeral, but it's important to me that during the service you tell everyone my brother was a saint. But he was far from that, the pastor said. Then the wealthy brother pulled out his checkbook. Reverend, I'm prepared to give you $100,000 to the church. All I'm asking is that you publicly state that my brother was a saint. So on the day of the funeral, the pastor began his eulogy this way. Everyone here knows that the deceased was a wicked man, a womanizer, and a drunk. He terrorized his employees and cheated on his taxes. Then the pastor paused. But as evil and as sinful as this man was compared to his older brother, he was a saint. So we attach saint to behavior. Sometimes we talk about it as it's a term of endearment. Long-suffering. You're such a saint to put up with a person like that in your life. Or we think of someone who's been canonized in the Roman Catholic Church by the Vatican, someone out of history like Saint Francis. And so when we hear this title saint, we think to ourselves, me? No, he couldn't be talking about me. No way. But the truth is that this term is used 62 times in the New Testament to describe followers of Jesus. Ordinary followers of Jesus, to the saints in Ephesus, to the saints in Minneapolis, to the saints in Des Moines, to the saints in Chicago. So we'd better take this one seriously and explore just exactly what Paul means when he calls us saints. In the Bible, to be a saint is never associated with performance. It's something that is conferred on me because of what Christ has done. This has more to do with status, my status in life. It literally means that if I trust in Jesus Christ, I've been set apart for Him, and I belong to God. I've heard the good news of Jesus, received Him into my life. That means that I belong to God. And this not by my own doing, but it's a gift of grace. Recently, I conducted a funeral for an elderly woman in our congregation, and I told her family in the middle of my message, you know, she was a character, but she was really a saint. We need to remember that. And they looked surprised when I said that. Their eyes raised a little bit. And then I went on and explained to them, she belonged to God because she trusted in Jesus. Well, after Paul hands out this title reminder to them, he goes on to expound to us about the blessings that God gives His saints in Christ. He says, you are chosen and adopted. Isn't it great to be chosen by someone when you were a kid? Wasn't it great to be chosen to be part of a team or to be part of a play? Wasn't it great to be chosen when your spouse perhaps asked you to spend the rest of your life with him? To be adopted, again, is to be chosen, to get all the rights of being a family member and privileges. Paul says you're chosen and adopted. And not only that, he goes on to say you're redeemed, which means you've been bought. You've been delivered from sin and death and the slavery of that by the cross and resurrection of Jesus Christ. You're not perfect by any means. No saint is. But you are forgiven through the suffering and the blood of Jesus Christ. And Paul then goes on, and not only that, as part of the forgiven family of God, you know all the family secrets about what God's plans are for the world. And then Paul goes on to say, I'm sealed by the Holy Spirit, which means that's God's mark of ownership on me. When I receive Christ, I receive the Holy Spirit. That means that God has given me not only His ownership in my life, but he goes on to say a guarantee that my eternal inheritance is assured. The Holy Spirit's the down payment. So, my dear brothers and sisters in Christ, according to God's holy word, hang on. You're saints. Congratulations. I think it's good to be reminded of our status as saints that have been made so rich in Christ for a couple reasons. Number one, so that I can live confidently. I can enjoy these days I've been given knowing that I belong to God forever. Whether I live or whether I die, I belong to Him. I'm a forgiven saint. And I have this eternal inheritance. Years ago, there was a wonderful writer named Al Rognes. And he wrote this little devotional that I clipped out. It reads as follows. In the foothills of Montana's Rockies, a little stream is born. It trickles its fitful path down the hillsides. It flows into the plains, growing broader and deeper. It becomes a river. The Missouri. Montana says, river, you're mine. But on it flows, declining to be cradled long by its parent state. Coursing on through the sister Dakotas, it again hears the claim, river, you're ours. Heedless, it pushes on, and angling its way between Nebraska and Iowa, but not before each of these neighbors has reached out for possession. River, you're mine. Like a restless eel, it slips away down to join the great father of waters, the Mississippi. And as it joins its flow with the larger, the Mississippi says, at last you've come to me. Now you're mine. But still it flows silently on. At last its currents become slower, fuller, until down into the great Gulf of Mexico, it comes to rest in the bosom of the ocean. In the rhythmic heaving of the deep, it hears the ocean's whisper, river, you're mine. You've always been mine. It was I who sent the storm clouds into the mountains to give you birth. It was I who pulled you steadily, irresistibly away from all others, back to myself. From me you came, to me you return. Only I can really say, you're mine. Into a home, a little girl is born. Bending tenderly over the cradle, a mother whispers, baby, you're mine. The years go on, and soon the baby has become a lady, and a lover takes her by the hand, and a deeper voice echoes the mother's whisper, sweetheart, you're mine. Then one day she stands looking into the deep eyes of her own baby, and her mother's ears seem to catch the unspoken claim of her child, "Mother, you're mine." But the years refuse to linger, and all too soon her hair becomes silver. Life grows fuller and deeper and slower, and one day she glides through the narrows into eternity's ocean. There in the bosom of her heavenly Father, she hears the voice of God, "My child, you're mine. You've always been mine. It was I who gave you life. It was I who drew you back through my redeeming love in Christ, drew you away from all others back to myself. From me you came, to me you return. Only I can really say, you're mine." We can live with that confidence that we belong to Him forever. He says to us, "Saint, you are mine." But not only is it great to remember that we have this great assurance, but it's also good to remember that we have a life calling upon us. We have a title, a calling to be who we are. We're a saint. Paul says in this little section called Saints, he says, "You've been called to God to be blameless and holy before Him in love." To be saintly. Saints are brought into existence to live to the praise of His glory. My highest purpose is to bring God praise. The little girl was right when remembering the stained glass windows in her church. She answered the question, "What is a saint?" with a telling word. A saint is a person the light shines through. That's what we are called to be. That the love light of Christ shines through us. I would dare to say that a saint is someone who reminds you of Jesus. When you're in their presence, you have a sense of Christ in their lives. The person that comes to mind for me is my mother-in-law, Eunice. Definitely saintly. A servant who gave herself away in the name of Jesus Christ to her family, to her church, to her community. She was so loving to all of us who had the privilege of being with her. She was loving and full of life and joy and patient and gentle, faith-filled, delightful to be around. She reminded me of Jesus. Or I think of my friend Johann, who now pours himself into doing urban ministry with the poor. And he loves to work with kids in the name of Christ. And there's such a joy about him and a delightful presence he is as he loves on these people. I just told him one day, "Johann, you really are a saint." He's a saint because he's accepted his status to be in Christ. And for Johann and for Eunice, it's, "He is my Lord. I'll live the rest of my days for His glory." That's a saint. I know whose I am and where I'm going, and I'm living for His glory. So I appeal to you today. Accept your status. Claim it for yourself. "I'm Saint Bob. I'm Saint Jim. I'm Saint Steve. I'm Saint Eunice. I'm Saint Martha. I'm Saint Joy. I'm Saint Angie. I'm Saint Christy. And I'm going to live the rest of my days for Jesus and to His glory." Amen. Let's pray. Lord, we thank You for the new ID and the riches that go with it. Help us, Lord, to claim it and continue to remember who we are and whose we are when we have Jesus Christ in our lives. May the rest of our days be for the praise of Your glory. Amen. Now, as you go on your way, may Christ go with you. May He go before you to show you the way, behind you to encourage you, beside you to befriend you, above you to watch over, and within you to give you His peace. Amen.
You have been worshiping with the radio and internet ministry of the Christian Crusaders. We pray today's gospel message has encouraged you to accept your status as a saint and claim it for your life. We pray that if Christian Crusaders helps meet your spiritual needs, you'll consider a contribution to help pay for radio time. We hear from many homebound persons who depend on this program for their weekly worship. Address your donations to Christian Crusaders, Post Office Box 522, Cedar Falls, Iowa 50613. Christian Crusaders publishes a quarterly newsletter called The Crusader. This publication features articles written by our speakers and others on a subject of interest to our listening family. We also publish an e-newsletter that introduces the coming week's program. This weekly publication can be received through your email or by checking our webpage at www.christiancrusaders.org. To receive these newsletters free of charge, please call us at 1-888-MY-FAITH or 1-888-693-2484. You can also email us at cc@naz.org. CDs and printed copies of today's message are available free of charge. However, a gift of any amount to help cover production and mailing cost is always appreciated. Address your request to Christian Crusaders, Post Office Box 522, Cedar Falls, Iowa 50613. Our toll-free telephone number is 1-888-MY-FAITH. That's 1-888-693-2484. In the Cedar Falls, Waterloo, Iowa area, dial 277-0924. We are happy you chose to worship with us today, and we pray you will join us again next week on this station. Conducting our service was our speaker, the Reverend Steve Kramer, Senior Pastor of Shepherd of the Valley Lutheran Church in Afton, Minnesota. Christian Crusaders is now in its 79th year of continuous Sunday worship broadcasting.